Welcome to Nevada Newsmakes. On the program today, Randy Thompson has the rundown.
Oh, it's quick today. We're going to be talking to Jeff Fontaine, who's the head of the National Association of Counties.
And coming up on the Power Pundit panel, Bob Berengo, Trey Abney, and Chris Wicker. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
The doctors at Eye Care Associates specialize in surgical and medical treatments to maximize your vision results. They can change the way you look at the world.
LipiFlow is an exciting new technology used in the treatment of chronic dry eye disease.
The procedure is quick, usually about 12 minutes, virtually painless, and performed in their surgical suite. Don't let dry eyes interfere with your life.
We perform a comprehensive evaluation to determine whether or not you will benefit from LipiFlow.
Your sight is critical. Call Eye Care Associates for an appointment.
Your business deserves the absolute best in workers' compensation? You should know that not all workers' comp is equal. With Pro Group Management, your business is all that matters. What do you receive for your premium dollar? Professional risk management team, top-rated claim service, customer care team, website access to your full account? It's all in the numbers. You can upgrade your dollars and make them stretch farther and more efficiently. Call us today. You deserve the best. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
What does the massive Tahoe Reno Industrial Center offer to Northern Nevada? Well, there's an incredible amount of oversized infrastructure in place, along with hundreds of sites to accommodate relocating or expanding businesses. The park includes IT ecosystems, call centers, data centers, e-commerce distribution, and there's defense system manufacturing, clean energy, there's renewables and recycling, and we're just getting started. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Adventure at TravelNevada.com.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
On Nevada Newsmakers, we're pleased to welcome back to the program Jeff Fontaine. He's executive director of the Nevada Association of Counties. Pleasure to have you back on the program,
good
sir.
Morning, sir.
So one of the big questions about the counties and also for the cities is the property tax cap that we saw valuations drop dramatically during the recession. But now as things are picking up again, the counties are not getting the revenue that they need, or they say they need at least, to maintain services.
Right. So, of course, the property
tax caps at the 3% and 8% have helped property owners in assuring that their property tax bills don't increase beyond what they can afford. And it's also helped local governments to a certain extent during the recession because those actual property values can be used to tax against when those property values were declining. But for many counties that I represent, the ability to recoup those revenues for the county has really been limited because of the way the property tax caps work and the way that there's a limit on the amount of actual property tax revenues that you can recover over a period of time. And so we have heard from a number of counties that, yes, it's a problem. They're having a difficult time in balancing their budget, and it's something that I know that they're very interested in looking at on a going forward basis.
Right, and the likelihood is that there's going to be a bill of a legislature to take a look at this, maybe repealing this property tax cap, which I'm sure would not please a lot of people. And also there is also the fact that it's likely not constitutional because you're charging 3% for residential, 8% for business. Everybody's supposed to be taxed equally.
Well, that's probably the biggest issue that we have heard, the differentiation between the commercial properties and the residential properties. And so I know that, you know, there's a lot of discussion about that. There is a lot of analysis that's taking place to look at different scenarios. And you know, we don't know, you know, what the bill, if there is a bill, will look like. We've heard the same as you, that there will likely be some type of a measure to address that.
And, you know, in previously, it would have been suicide for any political leader to have suggested a bill like this, because who wants to see their property, you know, the odds are the property taxes will be raised. Mm-hmm. But then again, Tick Sigablum has gone against everything and in a totally safe Democratic district. So who knows what might come out of this session?
Well, who knows? And look, I mean, I think you hit... Hit the issue when you talked about the difference between the commercial properties and the residential properties. The other issue that we've heard in terms of an equity argument is you can have two properties that are valued at the same amount, but the property owners are paying a different property tax because of when they purchased the property. So, you know, that's another argument that I think is being considered in all of this.
Now, yeah, that's been one of my issues since 1999. I lobbied to get rid of depreciation on homes.
Right.
And it's I've actually talked with, I did an column for it in the Gazette a couple months ago, and actually have talked to Pat Hickey about putting forward a bill that on the sale of the home, the depreciation would be dropped and the property value would become up to more of a market value.
Right.
We're the only state in the nation that has depreciation and that values homes really based on assessments more than a market value. So it seems like there's a lot of wiggle room there for the counties to actually recoup some money by not having any tax increase.
Well, I haven't done the economic analysis, but logic would predict that that would probably be the case. And again, you know, to have two identical properties right next to each other where you have a different property tax bill that the property owners are paying just doesn't seem to make sense to me.
I'm not laying this on your feet, but just for the general purposes of discussion, there are a lot of people out there that would say that, you know, one of the benefits, if you can say that there's a benefit from the recession, is that counties and cities were forced to cut and cut dramatically. And, you know, at this point in time, they should live within their budgets and not be looking to expand in the way that they did during the boom years.
I would not disagree with that comment at all. And in fact, I think many local governments would also agree with that. I think the question that has to be answered is, are the constituents or the citizens of those that are served by those local governments satisfied with the level of service that they're receiving under this sort of new reality, if you will? Are they happy that perhaps their parks aren't being maintained, that senior programs are being terminated or reduced, that maybe the response time by the local law enforcement agencies has been increased? So, you know, that's really the question. And despite the fact that many of my members have reduced their budgets by either, you know, reducing or eliminating services, even laying people off, there are still a lot of counties that are struggling to balance their budgets. And a lot of that has to do with, you know, the mandates that are placed upon local governments, the unfunded mandates, the reduction in revenues all around, including the federal revenues that the counties rely on.
Well, and you're hamstrung in the counties and the cities with collective bargaining with public employees, but not at the state. So here the onus is, okay, we're going to you guys reduce your budget, but we're going to just tie you up on how you can handle your personnel costs.
Right.
If you talk to the city of Sparks or city of Reno, 86% of their budget is personnel. How do you cut personnel when you know darn well you're going to end up right now in a court over a lawsuit of trying to fire people but it violates their collective bargaining agreements?
Well, again, that's the issue. When 70-80% or more of your budget is based on personnel costs, labor costs, you know, you have very little else to cut. Early on in the recession, the local governments cut out the capital projects. They cut out building new parks, new libraries, those kinds of things. Now they're down to having to reduce labor, and that directly results the ability for them to provide a service.
All right, let's take a break. More with Jeff Fontaine when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. The Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Looking for help saving energy and money? Soon, new options from NV Energy will help you do both. at nvenergy.com.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Jeff Fontaine. He's the executive director of the Nevada Association of Counties.
So we touched a little bit on collective bargaining in the last section. If, let's say, Washoe County puts forward a bill to maybe revise what we call NRS 288, but the statute that deals with collective bargaining, to allow a little more flexibility for the counties and the cities to negotiate collective bargaining agreements with public employees, do you think that's a bill NACO could get behind or other counties could get behind?
Well, without knowing the details of what that might be, it's hard to say, but I think generally speaking, number one, if one of our counties is interested in putting forward a bill that would address collective bargaining, I think we would take a hard look at that. At NACO, we try to support things based on a consensus. We have 17 counties. They're all different, but there are certain things that I think we could get behind. Flexibility is always, in my mind, when it comes to these kinds of issues, an important thing for our governments to have, whether it's flexibility in collective bargaining or flexibility in the way they operate. I think that's something that we would, generally support.
Well, does NACO have an opinion on the home rule? We call it the Dillon's Law. Does NACO ever try to push for more home rule?
Oh, we have no opinion on home rule. Of course we do. It's one of the... It's one of the basic tenets of county government, at least as far as NACO is concerned. And yes, there have been several attempts to try to get home rule for counties and cities. And we've done it a lot of different ways. We've done it by trying to get the legislature to basically reverse Dillon's rule and give local governments home rule across the board. We've done it by nibbling around the edges, by trying to introduce bills to give counties authority in certain or specific areas, such as planning and zoning. And then more recently, in the last two sessions, where we've actually made some, I think, progress, is trying to get home rule for counties and cities, specifically related to the day-to-day administrative activities, not fiscal home rule, not structural home rule, but where, local governments, instead of having to go to the legislature every 2 years to get permission to, the classic example of towing a parked car, on county property, that's a decision that the local governments can make on their own.
That is pretty crazy, isn't it?
Uh-huh. It is.
But you have a really great depth of experience in dealing with state government. Do you think that the state legislature will ever want to give up that power?
Well, the last two sessions, we were able to get a functional home rule bill passed out of the Senate. We've had hearings in Assembly Government Affairs, and that's where it's been bogged down. And so we have to educate legislators, particularly new members, and for that very reason, I think there's, a little bit of a concern that, if we cut local governments loose, they're going to get themselves into trouble and we're going to have to bail them out. Well, we need to prove that that's not the case, and so that's why we're starting with functional home rule to show that, we can handle it, we think we can handle it, and then come back and try to get some more.
But then you look at examples like, White Pine County
North Las Vegas.
And North Las Vegas currently, where state's going to look at that and go, well, they're going to be looking at us to bail them out if necessary. Yeah.
Well, remember, the state didn't necessarily bail out White Pine County. They did take over, and oversee some of the financial operations. But White Pine County has come back.
Well, and explain, what that means, because basically when the state takes over, all the union agreements go out the door, correct?
I'm not sure about that.
Not all of them.
It's not like the state, when the state takes over, that they necessarily bail them out financially and give them money.
Right, but mm-hmm. they have the ability to say, you will do this, you will do that.
That's correct.
The cities
they can raise taxes, but in the case of White Pine County, they already at the property tax cap. So, you know, they just come in and oversee the management of the budget. So, you know, White Pine County has rebounded. North Las Vegas is a whole different situation. Mm-hmm. But again, we are asking specifically for functional home rule. Try to prove the legislature and others that local governments can make the right decisions, can make decisions that are more responsive to their constituents, and then, you know, come back at a later date and maybe some elements of fiscal home rule as well.
So I'm kind of curious now, with the property tax decline, I mean the property value decline, the tax decline, do you think it's time the legislature address the $3.64 cap on homes in Nevada?
Well, you know, again, that's just a whole, you know, other issue that needs to be looked at. I mean, we have, I want to say, 6 or 7 counties that are either at the property tax cap or close to the tax cap, mm-hmm. a $3.64 tax cap. So, you know, it's been very difficult. And really, I think when you talk about property taxes, it's really, you can't just look at the specific property tax cap, 364. You can't look at the 3%, 8%. You have to look at it holistically, because there are so many issues related to property taxes that have been put together and really a result of sort of, you know, just year after year, yeah. session after session, sort of tinkering around the edges and adding on. So I think it's really important to look at it, you know, really in a holistic basis.
Yeah. I want to take you back to your previous life as head of NDOT and looking at Interstate 11, the potential for this. Do you think people in the state really understand how huge a deal this is? And I mean, I realize right. the completion is decades out, yeah. but still.
Well, I think that's really the reason why perhaps it's not, you know, a major topic of discussion for a lot of folks, because it really is, you know, decades out. But it is huge. You know, first of all, having an interstate highway between the two largest cities in the Southwest United States, Phoenix and Las Vegas, where there currently isn't one, is just, you know, an important transportation link that needs to happen. Beyond that, and by the way, that's a corridor that's been studied for many years as part of the Canamex Highway and all of those other issues. Now, as far as connecting Las Vegas and Southern Nevada to Northern Nevada, I think that's sort of the new element that most people don't really appreciate how important that really is and what kind of commerce and how that will really just add to the economic growth of this state. I mean, it's huge.
We're running out of time, but I wanted to just get a quick response to you. They put out several routes, and there's big discussion in Las Vegas, and the idea is, you know, I think the best one is to build a brand new freeway on the east side of the valley. Do you agree with that?
In Clark County, you're talking
yeah.
about? Well, you know, that's been a subject of controversy for a number of years because, you know, Clark County built the Beltway and, you know, there is no eastern leg of the Beltway because right. of opposition. So the eastern leg of the Beltway is I-515. And so I think they're going to have a really difficult time doing that. I'm not saying it's what they shouldn't do, but I think the public opposition is going to be pretty fierce to that.
Jeff Fontaine, always a pleasure, sir. Thanks
Thank
for
you.
Being
Thank
here.
You, Randy.
We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
Carson City Jeep is at it again, celebrating the summer clearance event with savings that only confirm what you already know. If you want lower prices on Jeeps and a higher trade-in value for your vehicle, shop Carson City Jeep and drive a brand-new 2014 Jeep Grand Cherokee Laredo for just $30,800. Or the all-new Diesel Limited, only $42,000. or a 2014 Jeep Wrangler Unlimited 4x4. Just $30,000. It's clearance time at Carson City Jeep, where Jeeps really do cost less. Thank you. See CarsonCityJeep.com.
One family, one owner, serving Northern Nevada since 1964. As your couture, dry cleaner, and alteration specialist, and the only cleaner of fine French linen. From Deluxe Laundry, our signature brand, to our expert drapery, blind, and window treatment cleaning service. From handbag cleaning in a clutch to a nationalized partner in textile restoration, Bobby Pages, 50 years of innovation. We're not just a dry cleaner, we're your neighborhood textile group. Visit us at BobbyPages.com.
Watch all the excitement in person at the American Century Championship. Athletes and celebrities duel it out in beautiful Lake Tahoe. With John Elway, John Smoltz, Aaron Rodgers, Jerry Rice, and the man with one of the most unique swings in golf, Charles Barkley.
Come see the stars at the American Century Championship. For tickets, go to TahoeSouth.com. News 4 is a proud partner of the American Century Championship at Edgewood.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Bob Berengo is here, former Speaker of the Nevada Assembly, Chris Wicker, spokesman for the Washoe Dems, and his best friend, Trey Abney, Director of Government Relations for the Chamber.
The bipartisan statesman here now, yes.
So, Bob, any thoughts on what Jeff was talking about here today?
Well,
I know you're limited because you're chairman of the Tax Commission. But
there is a lot of discussion going on about those issues.
Okay.
That kind of leaves it wide open.
Not on the show, apparently.
Yes, I know.
Chris, what do you think here?
I think if they seriously want to look at changes to the organized labor for public employee unions, I think they need to talk to the unions, and I think that they need to do it step by step. What always happens in these kinds of situations is you get a bill that starts to get crafted, and everybody puts their Christmas wish list in, and it becomes completely toxic. Unions may be willing to look at some things that provide flexibility and more efficiency to state government, but you never see those kinds of bills come out. You see toxic bills. And so if they would just kind of tamp down their expectations and take it one step at a time, maybe some progress would be made, at least in the eyes of the county government and the unions, for that matter.
Trey?
Well, to Chris's point, you're going to have some kind of grand bargain. This issue, if the legislature doesn't deal with the tax issue, which is one of the complaints out there, right, with the margin tax stuff going on, it's going to keep coming back, something to the ballot. That's not how you want to make tax policy. You want to do it in Carson City. Republicans are not going to vote for tax increases or tax package without reforms, 288, prevailing wage, construction defects, stuff like that. Democrats are not going to vote for those reforms without some kind of tax package. And so it's going to take both sides ticking off their bases, right, and upsetting, you know, maybe the business community, the labor community, trial lawyers, et cetera, and getting a deal. And, of course, it takes leadership from the governor, and I think he's prepared to do that. He's shown himself to be a great leader, certainly so far this first term. On the property tax stuff, it's an absolute mess. From the moment that we assess it, where we assess the value of the land and then separately assess the structure that's on the land and then it depreciates, you don't buy a piece of property that way, right? You buy a property and whatever's on it for a price. We're not based on market value at all. You could have two, you know, a house in, in a new area town that's a couple years old, a 60-year-old house in another area of town, both same market value, and the 60-year-old house the owners are paying next to nothing in property tax, and it makes no sense at all. Politically, you probably want to change it at point of sale so you don't kick grandmother out of her house if her property values rise. And when that house changes hands, it goes back up to market value.
There's the challenge, and we were just talking about this, but the realtors don't want it to happen at the sale. But when you buy a house and you know here's what the property taxes are going to be, oh, okay. It's part of the cost of the house. So it just makes total sense to me, and I've been lobbying since 1999 to get rid of depreciation.
Well, it created huge problems for our local governments because the property taxes actually went down, and so that's one way that you can help modify that.
Yeah, without actually having a tax increase on the current homeowner.
I want to bring Bob into the discussion here by changing the topic here, which is, the discussion in Carson City. was about O.J. Simpson and the cost of imprisoning somebody who basically is not likely to be a reoffender, and yet we're spending $225,000 a year keeping in jail for him stealing back his own sports memorabilia. What do you think, you know, because we're seeing this change across the whole country now in terms of the ridiculousness of prison sentences, some cases 20 years for a third bust on marijuana. It's insane.
Well, some of those were, you know, as a result of the tightening up and the leniency that they viewed, and then they put the three strikes and all those things. But, you know, as to O.J. Simpson, maybe he's been there long enough, and some of the, that's why you have the Board of Pardons and Parole to look at those kind of situations and remove people that need to be removed.
But do you think that overall, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, that we went crazy in the opposite direction of, you know, three
minimum,
strikes
maximum,
and
minimum,
yes.
Minimum sentences,
yeah,
and taking
away
the authority from the judges?
Exactly.
To some degree. Sure, I mean, that's what the judges are there for, and they get the probation reports, and they can review them and make a valid decision.
Well, and that's how you win political campaigns, right? Tough on crime.
Yeah,
you
know, yeah. That's the problem. Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, both sides.
When he ran for attorney general, the slamming of the
both
jail.
Both sides do it.
By any measure, particularly per capita, the United States has the most imprisoned people, I mean, by many times, than any other place in the world. Mm-hmm. And why is that? It's these stupid laws that were passed in Get Tough on Crime, and crime went down. I'm not sure crime went down because of that. But it is so expensive. We're spending so much money imprisoning our citizens, and for such a long time. When they come out, it's hard for them to reintegrate back into society. It's
sometimes make them
it's
worse.
Crazy. Yeah,
yeah. But our legislators, though, have been acting as judges more than they should be, it seems like, in a lot of these
things.
That's
very
much
a problem.
And they've been passing laws that mandate and really tie the hands of judges who are sitting in the courtroom and should be the one that can decide what's best to do with that person.
I'm thinking of a new TV show, Judge Randy. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this time out.
Dollar Loan Center's got you covered again. Your trusted name in lending for 15 years is now funding title loans. We lend more for your vehicle, and we guarantee to beat the rate of any competitor. No credit checks required, and you can always get a $2,500 signature loan in minutes. Apply at a Dollar Loan Center location or go to don'tbebroke.com for more info.
It's like AT&T knew what we wanted.
Just the other day, we were saying we wanted a TV experience that fit into our life.
And our budget.
And then we see this U-verse TV deal.
Call to get U-verse TV for just $19 a month with qualifying bundles. Keep the same great price for 2 years guaranteed. Plus, get a total home DVR included for life.
Great deal, huh? And get this, I've always wanted to put a TV in here, but there's no TV outlet. Now we can. By adding the wireless receiver from AT&T, we can move the TV where we want.
And with the Total Home DVR, we can record 4 shows at once and play them back in any room. We never miss a show now.
Call to get U-verse TV for just $19 a month with qualifying bundles. Keep the same great price for 2 years guaranteed. And ask about next day installation.
This AT&T deal was made for us.
Look, they even knew I wanted to record this show.
That was me, hon.
That was her.
If you're injured in an accident and you don't know what to do, we can help get you immediate medical attention.
Go lightly in Vanna, 222-3333.
Authentic Mediterranean in an American diner? You heard right. Joe's Diner is featuring 2 Mediterranean must-haves from handed-down family recipes from our chef. Falafels and lac mangeus are just $1.99 each. Great for a snack, lunch, or dinner. Give your taste buds a break from the ordinary. Eat at Joe's.
Coming up next time, we'll be talking to State Senator Pat Spearman, who's talking about gun control.
We'll see how the next podcast.